What's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I'm here, as always, with my main man, Kendall Lefty McKee in Lexington, Kentucky. Lefty, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Oh, man, it's good. There's some great baseball on this week, so.
That's yeah, a lot of great baseball. Good. I'm sure we'll get into that. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm in Detroit, Michigan this morning. Not my normal setup, so hopefully everything will go well with the show today. But Lefty's got us covered if I run into any technical difficulties here. Coming up on this episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show, thanks everybody for watching and listening. This is episode 73. What we're going to talk about today, for sure we're going to talk about a golf card that I think you should buy now. Yes, that's right. I said a golf card. We're going to talk about some top slabs to crack and submit to PSA. The first PSA graded Victor Wembanyama sale was made. So I'm going to talk about that because that's been a topic on this show. Some tips for buying on my slabs versus eBay and a cool new PSA feature that I found. Some of you may already be familiar with. We're going to talk about flipping to fund your PC. And of course, take your audience questions. And that's just my agenda. I mean, that's just what I have.
That's a ton, dude.
Lefty has more. And I don't want to forget to let all of you know that I run a website called nooffseason.com where we rank a bunch of sports cards based on the athlete and who we think you should buy, who we think you should sell, who we think you should hold. And there's some free content there, but there's also paid premium content. But for any Sports Card Strategy Show listener, audience member, I want you to get a free year of the premium membership. So all you have to do is email me at paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. I'm going to email you back with a link to join the website for free. And for those of you who already are members, I will be mailing you all a very, very special gift from nooffseason.com. And I want to say good morning to a few special folks. Oh My Shoes is a loyal member. Good to see you. Oh My Shoes is famous for working while he listens and watches two dudes talk about sports cards, which is a great way to live life. And got a special thing I want to share. Southern Soccer Idiot is in the house. Good morning and happy Monday to Southern Soccer Idiot. I went to the Nash-Annul, which is not to be confused with the National. My understanding is that the gentleman who run the Nashville card show, that's twice a month, I believe, and it's a smaller venue. I believe, and I could be getting this wrong, so people can correct me in the comments, but the same people who run that show that I've been to a few times also have started a much larger card show at the Nashville at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds in Nashville called the Nash-Annul. And it's huge. I went there and I think it's once every 3 months. I went there on Friday. And I'm just going to briefly show some videos from the show during my LNW of the week segment. But what I wanted to do, I'm going to combine my LNW of the week. So Kendall, I'm going to let you do your L and your W back to back.
All right.
So it's all you, my man. Take it away.
Man, my L of the week is that there was a couple of teams in the WBC that I think had the players to go on to be really competitive in the end. But struggled in the first couple games, and they didn't make the knockout round. Netherlands, Korea looks like they're not going to make it, and then Dominican Republic struggled in game one, which is a team that I thought could win it. And so they still have a chance to make it into the knockout round. But my L of the week is that there's some great players on those teams that had the chance to juice their card value by making it on the national stage. I think Xander Bogaerts made a really big move this offseason to the San Diego Padres, and he had a chance to be on this Netherlands team and to really stand up for himself. Jurickson Profar Has not found a team yet, and so he had a chance to up his value and things like that, and the Netherlands just didn't make it. I really expected Korea to be better as well. Kim as well deserved to be on in the knockout stage, and they just got beat around early and just were in a tough group. And Dominican Republic, honestly, is on their heels, and they have some incredible players on their team. So they were actually my pick to win the whole thing, and they lost their first game. Now, it's not done for them by any means, but just makes me nervous when they lose game one to a Venezuela team that is uncomfortably good. I'll say that. My L of the week, though, is from a card perspective, is Luis Roberts. Like, this guy used to be a guy that people thought could be the top five, like one of the top five baseball players in the league, Chicago White Sox player. He's just swinging at everything. He hasn't really developed like people thought he would. He's currently not the guy that the White Sox invested in to be their cornerstone guy. He's getting injured a lot. And so, honestly, my L of the week is all those people that invested in Luis Robert around like Lou Bob, when people invested in him in 2020, 2021, people thought he was going to be Juan Soto, that level of player, and he just wasn't, and he isn't. And so luckily for me, I did not invest in Lou Bob in 2020 because he was too expensive for me, which is crazy. I invested in J-Rod instead. Like, J-Rod was cheaper at the time. And so I was like, all right, cool. I'm just going to invest in J-Rod and then maybe flip my way up to a Lou Bob. Well, I'm so glad that I wasn't able to, because J-Rod is a way better player, and just Lou Bob is continually disappointing me. And so I am throwing up the red flag on all of Lou Bob right now. I would say sell for what you can. I don't think he's ever going to be what we expected him to be when we bought into him. So I'm saying get out, guys. Unfortunately, not that he probably won't have good moments, but he's not a guy you want to hitch your wagon to long term. So I don't know if you have a response to that Lou Bob bomb that I just dropped on here, but
yeah, I think it's good information. I mean, I think that I was wondering what your take was going to be on Luis Robert, because he's a guy that we've talked about on this show, and we have talked about him as just a complete risk reward. I mean, the quintessential risk reward guy, high upside but extremely, extremely risky floor. And it seems like the lesson for sports card investors is that, you know, we talk a lot about selling upon initial call up of those Bowman Chrome first. And I know Luis Robert had kind of a unique Bowman Chrome first that you've talked about, Kendall, where he's at the press conference and kind of like, it was almost like the stars were aligning for that to be a classic sports card into the long term. But if the player doesn't perform, then that's the biggest X factor. And we never know. That's the thing that we can't control, is how the player is going to perform, if there's going to be injury issues, which there have been with him. And so I think the lesson is sell upon initial call up for all of those guys. And you even made the point a few weeks ago with J-Rod, like his card prices didn't even really increase that much after he won Rookie of the Year from when he was initially called up. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that I think I sold one of his cards for like 220 like real early in March last year, and then that same card was worth 215 I think at the end of the season. So those you know, it was just like, and those were slabs, you know, so it wasn't like they were just random cards, you know. So these were his first chrome slabs and things like that. So so anyway, my win of the week is the same. The WBC has been incredible. Like, it's just been fun to watch baseball. They've been really late at night or early in the morning, which has been unfortunate, but I've caught enough of the games to be really excited about it. Some guys that have upped their stock tremendously, I think you see guys like Vinny P from the Royals, like playing on this Italy team that just squeaked in by honestly a technicality to the knockout round. In a big group with the Netherlands and Panama, also getting Cuba and Italy squeaked in front of Netherlands, Panama, and Chinese Taipei, which all three of those teams are arguably better, and every team in that pool went 2-2, and so they got in on technicalities about run differentials and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Italy's in. They're into the knockout round. There's a lot of this going on when they're on base. It's kind of crazy. But Sal Frelick is on that team, who we've talked about a lot. Vinny Pascantino is on there. I think that's how you say his name. But there's another guy that has kind of come out of nowhere for this Mexico team, and we saw it on full display last night as they gave USA a heck of a loss. But Meneses, the first baseman for the Nationals, doesn't even have Bowman cards. He has a rookie card in Topps Chrome. And so my win of the week is him, because if you were able to bust open some Topps like Series 1 and got his mojo, get that thing on eBay right now, because he is tearing it up for the WBC Mexico team and honestly has a pretty good chance of being a late bloomer. He's 30, which is unfortunate. That's why I'm going to say don't hold on to it, because he's on a Nationals team that's bad, and he's 30 years old, and he's just now getting his kind of big league experience. I don't know how this guy didn't get a call up earlier. He mashed at every level. Anyway, he's incredible to watch. So, we can't go into the show without saying a win of the week being Selection Sunday last week or yesterday, and college basketball coming in to this tournament. Honestly, it doesn't really do a whole lot for our cards, but it does a whole lot for the sports community. And I think it's really interesting to be talking about guys that maybe, I mean, there's some people out there that like kind of do some bracket betting and stuff like that. Maybe you call it bracket investing. And I have a couple teams that I am keeping my eye on that are sleepers. So I don't know if that's a segment we want to do.
It is something I'm going to mention in a minute during my bye, because I do believe that March Madness has an impact on some card deals, which I'll talk about in a second. And I'm excited about the season that Michigan State Spartan basketball fans really care about, which is the tournament. And we've absolutely crapped the bed this season in many respects, but we are in the tournament, so we're all excited about that. I'm actually in Michigan today, as I mentioned, in Detroit, and I'm headed up north later this week. So I'm in Spartan country and excited about the tournament. Good morning to Joshua Kaplow in the chat. We're definitely going to get to your question, Josh. So hang in there. We've got audience question segment, and this is actually something I wanted to talk about anyway. So good question on the inexpensive slabs to buy. Oh, My Shoes has an L to share, so I'm going to share that real quick. L of the week, he says, I scored a Jose Alvarado RTA. Is that different than an RPA, or is that a typo,
rookie,
Kendall?
It could be rookie ticket auto.
Rookie ticket auto. That's what it is. Thank you. Rookie ticket auto. Cool. Oh, My Shoes. Like that. $14. Good deal. But when I received it, the card had a slight scratch on the surface and a soft corner. Yes, that is hard to tell on eBay. It's hard to tell online. So it's definitely part of the game when you're not able to physically hold and see the card, which actually I'll talk about here in a second during my win of the week. But yeah, that seems like an L, although $14, you know, you might still actually be able to make some money on that shoes. Honestly, $14. You've got a lot of
all he needs is
with something like that.
All he needs is one game from the Pelicans in the playoffs, which who knows if they're going to make it. So
yeah, Grand Theft Alvarado is going to, he's going to do something for sure. And Ryan Borusky says, Monday morning sucks, but you guys make it much more bearable. That sounds like an L and a W all combined into one sentence. Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Morning, Ryan.
Good morning. Good morning, VJ. Good morning, Ryan. Thanks, everybody, for listening and commenting. All right, I'm going to get into my W and L of the week, and I'm going to start kind of with my W. So this is me at the National with Southern Soccer Idiot. That was SSI. This is Marty Neal, who's a listener of the show. And that is our guy from Bob's Card Market, Rob Misora. Had a good time with Rob, met up with him, talked with him for a while. Again, Southern Soccer Idiot in the house wearing his Mohamed Salah shirt. Had a good conversation with him. Marty Neal, thanks again for saying hello. And Rob Misora was going through just buying the you know what out of the dollar boxes and the $5 boxes and throwing it up on the card treasury on eBay. So check out his eBay store. Here's a little bit more B-roll from the show. You can see it's pretty large show. I mean, I was very impressed. It felt like just about as big as Culture Collision. And honestly, like it could be, I don't want to say as big as the National, but the Tennessee State Fairground, there's Rob going through some boxes I was telling you about. The Tennessee State Fairground's pretty large. And there's more square footage that they could have filled up. And I think that they have filled up maybe in past shows. So I'm just going to run through some more B-roll. Ah, there's Rob and I going through some boxes. I'm sporting the Sports Card Strategy Show New Era hat, which I'm going to get one of those to Kendall. Shout out to Card Chief and Gem Mint Cards. This is these guys, listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show, going through their boxes. And
man, I miss a good card show.
Some good. It was a phenomenal card show, Kendall. However, my L of the week is that I could only spend 2 hours there. So I actually didn't buy anything. Luckily, it was pretty much right by my house, like 20 minutes from my house. So don't feel that bad for me. But I definitely was not able to spend the amount of time that I wanted to spend at the show. So that was kind of an L. Another L is having eBay sales where the buyer buys several items from you. This is my main beef with eBay, and I've talked about it many times on the show. Don't mean to beat a dead horse, but at the same time, it's very frustrating when you make a sale, and especially combine shipping for someone and they tell you that they're going to pay and they buy like, I don't know, 10 or 11 of your items in the same order. Hmm. And like you give them multiple chances to pay and hold all of these cards. Not that they're the best cards in the world, but you hold all of these cards off of the market and then they don't pay. So I just went ahead and canceled this sale. Just super annoying. And there's actually, I listed some of my PSA magazines in here. That's another thing. I've seen these PSA magazines go for sometimes 10, 20 bucks, depending on the magazine. And so if you're a PSA subscriber, they send you a magazine. And I'm not very interested in the magazine. Some people are, and a lot of people like to collect that stuff, which is really cool. I mean, good for them. So I think there's a market for keeping your PSA magazine sealed long-term potentially. And going ahead and just listing them on eBay and seeing how they do. So anyway, my L of the week is just another unpaid for sale. Doesn't happen very often, but not too happy about that. And then, like I said, W of the week was going to the National, seeing everybody, meeting some of the audience members. So all in all, a great week. Looks like VJ Patel is excited about an Everton win. For those of you who follow the show, that's Kendall's Premier League squad. Very excited about that.
Big 1-0 win against the Brentford squad. That's much better than us, man. It was a big win. We scored in the first minute, and then I had 89 plus other minutes of crushing anxiety, figuring that they would level with us. And I was just like, gosh, we need these big 3 points. But Man, it was a great one first minute strike. It was like, okay, sick. We're gonna go up on top, and then we just held it down, which is awesome. Liverpool is SSI's favorite team and my least favorite team, and so it is what it is. It's Merseyside derby. They care way less about it than we do. They are more concerned about Manchester United. We are much more concerned about Liverpool than they are. But the People's Club won a big game this weekend, 3 points to the Toffees. Just a little bit. You know, we need to stack a couple of these wins together, boys. Last year we had 5 out of the last 12 that pulled us out of the relegation zone. And the last 12 started this weekend, and we won our first one. So we're on our way.
So was that specifically your thought about SSI, or did you have anything else you want to add about me meeting SSI in person? Because that was pretty exciting for me.
No, I was very excited that you were able to meet him in person, but I immediately saw that he was wearing a Mo Salah shirt, and I was like, okay, cool. But then I realized that's a big dude, so maybe I should stop. Like razzing this guy that's twice as big as me, I think. So.
Yeah, SSI, big dude, very, very nice, nice man. So very nice to meet SSI and figure out who he actually is in person. His first name is Kevin. So we're not going to ever call you that, though. SSI, you're never going to be called Kevin. But it was really nice to meet you, and I look forward to seeing you again. He was telling me about some great card shows down in Alabama that I definitely would love to check out someday. And he's saying there's not enough soccer cards down there, which does not surprise me. Rusty Eye, Russ, what's up? Get to work, turn on podcast. Electrical work can wait. Good morning to you as well. Love that. Ryan Baruski says he went to the Philly show on Friday night. Very busy. He was surprised. Love those guys with the portable chairs who plop down at the dollar boxes for hours on end. Wow. Is that a Philly thing, or does that happen elsewhere?
No, that's everywhere, dude. That's everywhere.
Wow.
They bring like portable little camp chairs. That's aggressive. Little camp chairs. Where I've seen it is like in the vintage boxes where guys are trying to complete old sets and things like that. And there's just like a guy that's like 85 years old, just camp chairing it, just like, all right, let's go through them.
Here's Tom DiCaprio. Good to see you on the live show.
What up,
Tom? Thanks for commenting. Glad to see that you're commenting and listening live. Love it. All right, I'm going to get into my PSA tool that I was talking about in the opening of the show. And this is kind of a win of the week for me because I got 2 PSA grade emails back to back last week. And so one of them was this, I've talked about these crossover grading submissions. The only time I ever do a crossover grading submission is when I buy a Beckett authenticated auto and then I send it in the slab because I want PSA to see that it's been authenticated by Beckett. And then I get the PSA card grade and the auto grade. And one of them I was excited about is this Anthony Edwards inscribed Ant-Man in a silver pen on his 2020 Prism rookie card. And it came back a mint 9 card, auto grade 9 card. And the PSA tool I was telling you guys about, you may know about this already, is you can click on cert image now on your, I know Kendall does not like to do this. Many of you, I'm actually interested to see if you guys in the audience, when you get your PSA grades email back, do you open it and look at the grades, or do you wait until the cards get to your house to see what the grades are? I always just open it immediately. Can't wait to see what my grades are. But the cool thing is you can see the card now, and actually I would recommend, the reason I like this is because I would recommend using these photos, like go ahead and save these photos for your future eBay listing of these cards, because it's going to be, you know, way better of a photo than you would ever take. No offense, but this is, I mean, it's going to be, you know, probably the best photo that you can get of this card. And it just saves you work. It saves you time for having to get the slab out, photograph it, et cetera. So wanted to share my Ant-Man inscribed auto. Wanted to share the other one here, which is the LaMelo Ball version of the same card. came back an 8 with a 9 auto grade. And then another submission that I got back is a 12 card submission from December. The Ant-Man and LaMelo submission was mid January, I think. But Kendall, the point I wanted to make about this submission is all of these cards, this is the first submission I have made in my life. And so the last 3 years, I've made quite a few PSA submissions. This is the first PSA submission I had ever made where each one of these cards I had held in my hand and judged how I thought they would grade and bought them specifically to grade them at PSA. Every other PSA submission, because I was in Spain, I either had someone else submit it for me and had never really seen the card, or I had them shipped to my PWCC vault from eBay and then had PWCC submit them for me, so I had never seen the card. So my CES Christian Encarnacion Strand refractor auto, Bowman Chrome First refractor auto, got a 9, which unfortunately I thought was going to get a 10, but not the end of the world with a 9. 4 Gavis that I bought at the London card show each got a 10. And I notably threw about 5 or 6 more of them back in the box and did not buy the ones that I didn't think would get a 10. So I'm very happy with my own personal gem rate on the Gavis. So 4 Gavis, and that's not a huge card, but I only bought it for like maybe $3 each. And they're selling for over $55 in a PSA 10, the 2021 Topps Chrome UEFA Champions League, just base Gavi. PSA 10 sells for about $55 to $60. A little bit more of an exciting card would be the Pedri Volcanic material auto. That's awesome. That I got at out of Obsidian at the London card show. Can't remember exactly what I paid for this, but it came back a 9. So
these are hard cards to grade. These like RPAs like this from Obsidian are hard cards. They're thick, and as we know, PSA grades thick cards like a lot harder. There's added extra edges in the element of the what's the frick? The piece of clothing, the relic in the middle, like yeah. That there's added edges there that also are going to get graded. And so,
that's a good point. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. That's great point. So Kendall's talking about these edges here on the interior. Yeah.
Yeah. I think some of the things that are hardest, like when I see a 9 or a 10 come back from an RPA or a die cut, I'm like, wow, that was that's a risky card to grade. It's a lot more to look at. And so that's a big win, I think. So I'm sure the pop count on that card is ridiculously low, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Pedri's a guy who can, I think he's injured. I think hopefully he comes back from injury and kind of, you know, plays to the level that we all think he can play at and stays healthy. This card's actually numbered out of 149 too. So it's a nice little card. I think I'll keep it for a while and see when a good time to sell it might be. Kendall, you might have some advice for me on that. If you do, let me know. Yeah. This one is this notably, if you guys remember Frankie Goodman, who is on the show with Kendall and I a few months back, Frankie is doing a lot in cards. He not only is one of the top dealers in the London area, but he has that grading company, Digital Grading UK, Digital Card Grading UK. And so he knew I was going to do this. And part of it is because I wanted to validate how good his grading is. So I bought a Pedri from him, Merlin Chrome 2020 Refractor. And it was his only card that he had ever graded 100 out of 100 on his grading scale. Sure enough, it came back a PSA 10. So good work out of Frankie Goodman there. Sorry that I had to crack his slab to do this, but another one that I bought from Frankie, this was a 94 on his grading scale. And if you go back to one of the earlier Sports Card Strategy Show episodes from November, if you find an episode from early November, it's going to have Frankie Goodman in it with Kendall and I. And I think I held up these cards in this episode so you can see. This one came back, this Cade Cunningham, a PSA 10. I got a high gem rate with this submission. This is why I'm really excited to share it. This Tyrese Halliburton I got for a few bucks at Dave's Card Shop outside of Atlanta. It came back a 10. And same with this Tyrese Maxi. So the Tyrese Maxi, red, white, green, cracked ice rookie out of Select, came back a 10. A CeeDee Lamb Hollow. This was a HGA 95 that I bought at the London Card Show for maybe around $15 and cracked it, and it came back a PSA 10 that sells for quite a bit more than $15. And then Max got a Najee. My son Max bought this Najee Harris from Frankie. We cracked this one as well. It came back a 9. This is numbered out of 75. So it's not like a huge card, Najee Harris, Dynagon rookie, but it is numbered out of 75. So Max wanted to pick it up and it came back a 9. So Frankie, 2 out of 3, man, 2 out of 3. 'Cause I think the Najee Harris was maybe a 91. And I think his grading scale is supposed to be around, if you're in the 90s, you're supposed to get a PSA 10. But hey, 91, I mean, Frankie was the first to admit, like, it might be, it could be a 9. Like, it's going to be on the verge if it's a 90. So Cade Cunningham, 94 got a 10. Pedri 100 got a 10. Najee Harris, I think, was a 91 that came back a 9. So not bad. All right, cool. So I didn't see any of the comments while I was sharing my screen because I don't have my normal dual monitor set up. So we'll go through those real quick. Derek Kunzman, what is up? Yeah, first show live listen. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the positive feedback. He says, love the podcast.
Good looking headshot, Derek.
Yeah, Derek, well done out of you. Absolutely. Thanks for, we'd love to see more out of you, Derek. Let us know if you have any questions. Ryan Baruski likes it. Yeah, Oh My Shoes sent me a great, so I don't have this for the show today, but Oh My Shoes sent me a picture of a sweet Jokic, why can't I say his name? Nikola Jokic, really, really sweet colored prism rookie card, which is a good investment for him. And SSI says he always waits to see the grades in person. I know Kendall does the same.
Maybe we should Ryan focus Baruski, on our similarities rather than our differences.
Oh, that's a good motto, Kendall. The Pedri Dish. That's kind of a funny nickname for glad you like the submission results, Derek. Thanks so much. Absolutely. I hope it's not annoying, but I like to shout out everybody, Tom. So everyone is special here on the Sports Card Strategy Show. You're going to get a shout out. All right. So Kendall, I'm going to jump right into my buy and sell and then get back to you for your buy and sell. All right.
Right.
So we'll keep it moving here. My buys, I'm taking Chad Gill's advice. Now, Chad's in the waiting room here. We see you, Chad. We're excited for your segment coming up, Flip to Fund Your PC. So stay tuned for that. I'm taking Chad Gill's advice because he's so right on the money with his SGC 95, SGC 10, CSG 10. I'm even throwing in the HGA 95 because I did that with the CeeDee Lamb Hollow that I showed you a minute ago. I'm even throwing that in the mix. So what I'm buying, normally I look at Market Movers by Sports Card Investor and I say, hey, here's something from Market Movers that I think you should buy. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON to get your first month for only $1. But today I'm going to take it in a little bit of a different direction and I'm going to say, look at what I've done digging into Chad's advice from the past couple of shows. And one thing is, I have noticed that, let me get to my eBay purchases here. So I have noticed that Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow are in a pocket of buying now. And this goes back also to Kendall mentioning the NCAA tournament. And here's why. I think the NCAA tournament is significant for sports cards in this way specifically. It is probably the one pocket of time other than June during the football offseason where it probably makes sense to look at buying football cards and buy the ones that are underpriced because everyone's attention is going to March Madness. So you have this little pocket of time where in March and then again in June, because there's no football news, you can buy football cards. And I would recommend not necessarily taking risks on buying football cards, but buying established quarterbacks like Dak Prescott. And in this case, Jalen Hurts going into this next season, as well as Joe Burrow. So for example, there is a significant price difference in Dak Prescott's SGC 9.5 and his PSA 10. And what I'm looking at, if I can safely make anywhere from $20 to $50 on one of these plays that Chad's talking about, then I'm going to look at doing that, especially if buying the card is only going to be between $30 and $50. So I was able to, and it's what I realized is that it's not always easy to do what we tell you to do on the show, because a lot of times on the show we'll say, well, this card sold for this much and this other card sold for this much, so what you should do is you should buy this other card. What I realize is that it doesn't always mean that there's that card available at that price, right? So for example, Dak Prescott's SGC 9.5, it's easy for me to say buy it for $35 because it last sold for $35 and then sell it for $76 in a PSA 10. Well, it's not always available for the $35, but I was able to get a couple of Dak Prescott SGC 9.5s that I think are well-centered, and that's the key. I think these are well-centered. One for, including shipping and tax, $38.47 all in. Another one for $48.78 all in. The key here is that I do have to factor in a $19 grading fee to PSA. There is going to be shipping related to that order, but I'm not going to include that shipping because I would have shipped that order in anyway, is kind of how I'm thinking about that. So what I'm doing here with these is these cards are actually, I'm actually going to be $70 and $60 into these cards. And I realize that they're only selling for in PSA 10 for $76 right now. So it is a bit of a risk, but I'm factoring in what Chad said on the last episode, which is by the time August rolls around, the PSA 10 of this should be up, I think, around $100 or so. So this was one play along those lines. Now, another play along those lines, which I think might be better, is Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts, 2020 Prism PSA 10 sells for around $120. Chad mentioned on the last show that his CSG 10 to PSA 10 success rate is about 100%. So I was able to get a CSG 10 Jalen Hurts 2020 Prism on my slabs for $100.99. Now, the good news with my slabs is that's the price. So there's no like extra shipping fee on my slabs. Essentially, what happens is the seller has to sort of factor that into their price. So I was able to get a CSG 10 and then a SGC 9.5 for $50.50 of the Jalen Hurts 2020 Prism. So I'm going to do a little Chad Gill experiment with these Dak and these Jalen Hurts cards. And then lastly, on my purchases is I was able to get two more. So these are HGA 9.5s, which sometimes you can get for even less. I'd be curious when we bring Chad into the show today, what he thinks of the HGA 9.5. I know he's going to say they better have high subgrades, and they better have high subgrades with centering for PSA and corners, right? So these two, Joe Burrow's pricing like has not come down. So it's really, really hard to find a deal on Joe Burrow cards. But his 2020 clearly Don Russ rated rookie compared to a PSA 10 of this card left a lot of room for margin for me. I was able to get it all in for $87.80. You can see it says auto paid here, right? So eBay is doing a better job at auto pay, at making it where when you make an offer, you're essentially auto paying if it's accepted. So this one was accepted and it auto paid for me, which I think is good for the seller. And I like that. But this one came in, this had high subgrades for centering and corners. I think I can make some margin on this one with the HGA 9.5. Same thing with this Anthony Edwards Not a very exciting card, but $49.38 all in. This card's been selling for around $85 to $90 in a PSA 10. So again, factor in the $20 grading fee. That takes you to $70. That still leaves $15 to $20 of profit on a card. And when you think about just having a retail store, buying inventory for your retail store and then being able to make a margin on it of $15 to $20 per item, not the greatest, but maybe there's upside $20 to $50 per item, depending on when you sell it. Not a bad strategy, I hope. So I'm gonna experiment with it, report back, let you guys know how that's going. A lot into my buy segment. One more thing that I mentioned in the intro of the show today is a golf card that I would like all of you to just know about. Whether or not you buy it is your prerogative, of course, but I'm starting to get high on this idea of a Scottie Scheffler 2017 SI for Kids card. A couple reasons. One is because it's his only card, with one caveat. He does have a 2022 SI for Kids card that you need to avoid because it's worthless. It's him like chipping the ball. It's 2022 Scottie Scheffler. So make sure that when you're looking for a Scottie Scheffler SI for Kids cards, that you're getting the 2017 version. That is his rookie card. And that is basically his only card. There's no upper deck Scottie Scheffler card. And some of the sales of this card are actually pretty astronomical. You know, you have PSA 5s and 4s of this card that go for between $120 and $150. You even have a PGI 9 that recently sold for $130. Of course, he just won the Tournament Players Championship over the weekend. So while it may not be the best time to buy into Scottie Scheffler, there is a quick flip if you think he's going to win the Masters this year. But he's also super young. He's going to be one of the top five players in the world for a long time. And so I do think that until Upper Deck releases like a really nice Scottie Scheffler rookie auto, maybe out of a series like Game Used or something like that, I do think there's a play to go out and get some Scottie Scheffler SI for Kids, like either uncut sheets like this one here. It also has a Ronaldo in the uncut sheet. And typically when you get the uncut sheet, everything is like centered the same way on the sheet. And that's good and bad, right? Because if they're all centered, they're all centered. If they're all completely off centered, then it's kind of a debacle. So I do think like some of these uncut sheets available on eBay right now, it is actually a good price to be able to make an offer for listed for $130. If you can make an offer and get this for closer to $100, or if you can just go buy like a graded Scottie Scheffler from another grading company and do the same move Chad's been talking about, you're not going to get it back before the Masters, but I do still think this could be a good long-term card. So one thing I just did before the show today is I made an offer on this Victor Wembanyama Sports Illustrated for Kids SGC5. Reason being is because the PSA we just had, the first PSA graded sale of the Victor Wembanyama SI for Kids, 37 bids, $395 for a PSA 5. So bringing all things together in nice. My buy segment at the end here, right? Get an SGC, like do what Chad's been talking about. Get an SGC graded Victor Wembanyama already. Don't worry about having to unperforate the sheet yourself, submit it, all that stuff. Just crack the slab that's already been graded in an SGC. This is a huge profit margin. If I can get this card, I made an offer. If I can get this card, get it graded in a PSA 5. And, you know, that's a big profit margin. So anyway, that's my... my long AF buy of the week segment, Kendall.
That's good, man. I think you came with some data today, and so people are like, dang, like, all right, that's good. It's good for us to talk about, hey, like, when we talk about good profit margins, sometimes we're talking about 20, 30 bucks. I think it's sometimes a big deal for people you know, to, for us to talk about the swing trades that we're making rather than the, you know, $500 to $1,000 cars that we're buying, rather than saying like, hey, if you could take $100 or $200 and invest in swing trading and making 10 to 20 bucks, that's all of a sudden another $100 to $200 car pretty quickly. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been able to like kind of swing trade a lot of stuff all the way up, and I was able to buy my second, you know, big card of my professional buying career recently. I bought this this Trevor Lawrence auto last fall that's behind me in my little eBay thingy on my shelf, but I also bought a Tyrese Maxey PSA 10 rookie ticket auto last week because I had enough funds from all the baseball cards that I had been selling since the beginning of March. So, I mean, I've only been selling baseball cards since March 1st. So March 1st is when I put everything up online, and I do this every year. I literally put almost every baseball card I have online because I'm like, hey, this is my one time a year. I'm going to make as many sales as I can, get my little nest egg big enough to where like even like last year, I made like 8 purchases at the National, and I have sold all but 2 of those cards and made double, sometimes triple X on some of those cards I bought at the National, which is pretty cool. But I sell all my cards, all baseball cards, March 1st. I put everything online. My big cards have not sold yet, but that's because Indy has not made the opening day roster yet. Still fine with them sitting out there for what they're sitting out there for. But I've sold over $1,000 or $2,000 worth of cards in 13 days. So
that's awesome. Glad to hear that you're,
those are all like $10, $15, $20, $30 at a time. So I've been moving a bunch of cards, and shockingly, this is interesting, Paul. Shockingly, soccer cards have moved more for me this week than they have before the World Cup.
Wow. Is it? Do you think it's just because I've noticed way more soccer card momentum since the World Cup? Like, I've noticed this effect, like this, maybe it's a longer term interest in soccer cards now that the World Cup was so exciting in 2022. And we do have, even though it's almost 4 years away, we do have one coming to North America in 2026. And then, of course, the Women's World Cup is coming up as well. So I've seen that as well, Kendall, in terms of more soccer card momentum everywhere. Atlanta Culture Collision had way more soccer cards than I ever would have imagined. The National, although, I mean, I was only there for 2 hours. So, and I wasn't there on Saturday, which may have been the biggest day, but it didn't have many. Southern Soccer Idiot might be able to chime back in with that, but I have seen way more soccer card momentum in the US than I would have expected, which is great.
I think that's because I know I talk about this all the time, but I think that's because the soccer community here in America it's present with the MLS starting. Like, it's like Americans are like, oh yeah, soccer is a thing, you know? And so I know that's like kind of ridiculous, but it's just a current like cultural reminder that, oh yeah, there's other stuff going on that I can watch on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Plus some of the big competitions are coming to a head at least. So, you know, like you've got Europa League, Champions League, FA Cup, you've got those seasons coming down to the wire in Europe. Like, now is the season where it's like, you know, we're two months out from the end of the season. So Haaland looks like he's going to probably win the Golden Boot. Like, it's not really even a ridiculous argument. And Manchester City is going to do their thing. Maybe Arsenal is going to do their thing, you know, like, so it's like, it's all up there. And I think some of the results are obtainable for people to see from such a long season. Plus, you know, it's the dark side of our buying and selling windows. The more people get into this hobby, the more people are expecting to sell in a sell window rather than buy in a sell window. And so if you can move a big card in a sale window, that's awesome. But I don't think you're going to move the bulk of your cards in a sale window, which I think is interesting for me to look forward, is to say, you know, that's even a harsh take because of how many cards I've moved this week. But I've also listed more cards than I usually do this week. So what I'm saying is the dark side of a buying window is a selling window is everyone is trying to sell and no one is trying to buy. Everyone's trying to recoup money. And so I think the more we look into this, maybe a sneaky play is a double reverse, is that we actually sell during people's buying window, which I don't know how sneaky we can get with that, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm just thinking about it. Maybe I'm thinking too much about it.
Well, no, I think it's a good point. The way that I would unpack that is to say that Rob Masora and Andy Kaysen, off the top of my head, are two people that I know 100% of the way that they sell is by always listing buy it now or best offer, and then lowering the price as needed. And I think that that's a version of what you're talking about, where it's like have it listed at all times. And then it's up there through all the seasons of all the sports and available for anyone to buy whenever they want. And I think that's probably would be my version of what you're talking about, where it's like now it's up there through all the potential hype spikes and whatnot. And so I'm going to probably start doing that more as I'm acquiring more cards, like more desirable cards with the intention of flipping. And I do think you're onto something. So, and the profit margin thing, I will reiterate one more time, because I'm glad you hit on that, because I get emailed that question a lot. Like, hey, Paul, what is the profit margin I should be looking for on these cards? And yeah, I think it could be as low. I mean, it's whatever you want it to be, but I think you should all do your own math and be like, how much money do I want to make flipping sports cards? And then how many cards would I need to sell? And if I only have or am willing to acquire X amount of cards, then you should do the math and that should tell you what your profit margin, what your projected profit margin should be for card, and then you should make your purchases according to that. And so for me, like the math that I'm doing, I'm okay with a $20 sort of minimum profit margin per card. Now, it's kind of like sports betting, where I don't want to have that buy-in be huge for a $20 payout, because that requires a super high risk tolerance. So I don't want to do like 2-to-1 odds on something and pay like $1,000 to win $50. That doesn't make any sense. But I will pay $40 to win $20. And so that's kind of what I'm looking at with those profit margins. Hopefully that makes sense. But I think this is probably, we will get to everyone's question in the comments. And for those of you that are listening on Apple or Spotify, email me at paul@nooffseason.com or tweet at us at Lefty McKee or at No Offseason Card, and we'll get to your question on the show for sure. Or leave a comment below on the YouTube video. But now's a good time to bring in Chad Gill, who is our audience member turned analyst here at nooffseason.com. And Chad talks about how to flip to fund your PC. So Chad, you've been listening into the show in the waiting room this entire time. You probably have a lot to say. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, thanks. Yeah, it's hard sitting there listening and not chiming in. But to, like Lefty was saying, the soccer cards, I noticed about 30 days ago, the soccer stuff I have listed is really taken off hard. I've updated some of the profiles on some soccer cards, added a few that weren't on there. The MLS thing is an interesting take, but I went back and I started looking, because a year ago when we were buying soccer cards for a friend of mine, we did a lot of buying in March through May, and then we were greatly disappointed waiting for the huge takeoff from World Cup that never happened, and we took some pretty significant losses on it. So then I started looking back. It almost looks like in America, soccer cards heat up March through May. And I was trying to figure that out, but that could coincide with the start of the MLS. So that's an interesting take, Lefty. You might be spot on that.
Appreciate it.
Southern Soccer Idiot is saying kind of the same, you know, he's validating what you guys are saying, and a lot of support for Nashville SC. And he says he thinks that what he saw in Nashville was a great sign for the future of the soccer side of the hobby.
So one of the things I've got here is for Paul, along with all the listeners, but Paul in general. So this is, I don't know if you can you see that?
Zinio.
Have you ever heard of that?
Zinio, yeah.
Zinio.
I haven't. Tell us about it.
So I'd never heard of it either. But last night I was sitting there after I saw that Wembanyama sale, that PSA 5, I saw that and I'm like, oh my God, I have completely missed on this. I did not buy when Paul said go out and buy these things. I thought, I don't want an SI for kids card. And this thing is just blowing up, right? So kudos to Paul for telling everybody to do it and I didn't listen. So I thought, yeah, there you go. Thanks, Lefty. I'm the only one on the show that can do it. Great. Anyways, so I started thinking, where can I find a magazine? So I thought, well, I'll try Sports Illustrated. Sometimes you can get back issues. The back issues are all sold out. Couldn't do it. So I started Googling the issue, the January, February issue. The Zinio pops up. Now I have no idea whether or not I got scammed or not. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But Zinio has back issues that you can buy of all the different types of magazines, including Sports Illustrated for Kids. I bought one last night for $4.99.
Wow.
Now, I have no idea whether or not I'm going to get it or if the cards are going to be in it, or I don't know anything, but I just wanted to share that with all the members. That if you were like me and you slept on Paul's advice and you're willing to risk $5, go to Zinio.com and buy yourself an episode of the entire magazine. I hope I get it. I pray I get it. I don't even care if they're off-centered. I just want one at this point. And I was willing to risk $5.
That's amazing. Hey, Chad, one more note about that magazine. Before we move on to the next topic, I want to make sure everybody knows this because I want Lefty's take on this. There's also an Alyssa Thompson card that's right next to the Victor Wembanyama card. And Lefty, I don't know if you have any thoughts on Alyssa Thompson, but she was the number one overall pick in the 2023 NWSL draft. And I've had some listeners of the show actually email me and say, hey, what are you going to do with the Alyssa Thompson card that you're talking about from that issue? And just so everybody knows, I submitted all the Wembanyamas and all the Alyssa Thompsons to PSA. So I'll decide what I do with them when I get the grades back.
Alyssa Thompson, 25-year-old forward, definitely looks great for her to be a number one, you know, top pick in the what would probably be one of the best covered media attention for women, although that the Premier League is very covered in other countries, can't really speak to that. But she's had two appearances in a United States women's national team kit. You know, so there are other cards that I would invest in, but if you're going to get one for free, you might as well just hang on to it and see what happens.
Yeah, it's essentially for free. And she's 18 years old. I think you said 25 years old. She's 18 years old. Born in 2004. So I don't know if you're talking about 25. The same person, but
okay, maybe not. How do you spell her name?
You Alyssa on ussoccer.com, her official profile, November 7th, 2004.
Oh, her number is 25.
Hometown Studios.
I'm reading the wrong thing. You're right.
25. So she's got 7 more years of life and soccer to go. I don't know.
Alyssa,
what that means. But
I know you're listening to our show, and I apologize for making you an old lady. So
hey, Caden Clark's father listens to our show. So you never know who from Alyssa Thompson's family is listening to our show, Kendall. Anyway, I'm just messing with Kendall now, doing a little correction. Chad, you got some flip to fund your PC information for us today, or any other info that you want to throw out?
I do. So a follow-up from last week, everybody was asking, or not everybody, but I had questions about the numbers. Did I have a breakdown for brands? I had all the numbers in the sheet. I just wasn't prepared for questions. So I went ahead and I looked. The brand does not seem to be, from my sample size, the brand does not seem to matter at all. However, the type of card does. Whether it's a thicker stock card or a chrome refractor type card or a paper card, that does seem to matter. So I'm really excited that you got your HGA 95 to a 10 in a chrome. But the chromium finished cards in a 9.5 to a 10 were only at 34% for me. However, the paper 9.5 to 10s were at 71%. So that,
wow, that's huge.
So I thought that was important information for everybody to know. But this is not an exact science, and I want to share this with everybody. This is a public service announcement. This is not 100% guaranteed for everybody. So I did get my, you know, I had sent in the three cards from Chris Paul, rookie cards. Those are paper cards. And they were all, I had an SGC 9.5, I had a CSG 9.5, and I had a CSG 10. I cracked all three. I sent them in, as I've told you before, I like to do in groups of three. And this is why I like to do them in groups of three. I have no idea which card was which coming back, but the grades popped on Saturday. And I am like Paul, I can't wait for the cards to come. I have to open up the email and look.
You guys are psychos.
Well, I do it because I list the cards. I use the images and I list them on eBay as soon as the grades pop. So every card that I'm getting rid of that was on that 22 card submission, 18 of them I have that I was selling, all 18 of them are listed for sale. I did that yesterday. So I could potentially sell it before I get the card and then I'll have to ship it out right away. But anyways, of those three paper Chris Paul rookies, I got two 10s, which was the goal. I always want to, if I can get two 10s, it more than pays for itself. But I got one 8. Now, I don't know if it was one of the 9.5s or the 10, but I got an 8. I'm not sure how that happens. It wasn't just Chris Paul. I also did this with three Kevin Durant Topps Chrome rookie cards. So a little bit more investment, a little bit more expensive. I got one 10, one 9, and one 8. And those were all, three were SGC 9.5s. So I got one 10, okay. One 9, one 8. Wow. The 10 will pay for what I paid for the other. The other two are free cards because that's why I like to do it in groups of three. The 10 more than pays. Matter of fact, the 10 pays for all three of the Durant cards and the three Chris Paul cards. So everything is free after that 10 and the Durant. The problem with it is now that I have a Durant 10 Topps Chrome, I'm not going to sell that one. That's going in my PC. I'm going to sell the 9 and the 8, and I'll suck up whatever is left. And that's, I just own that card for less than. But that was two 8s this week that I got that I have not had that. I've not experienced that yet before. So I wanted to share that with all the listeners because it can happen. We are essentially gambling here with these grades. Now, cracking a card certainly gives you a much higher percentage than raw cards. But as proof from my recent submission, you can get lower grades.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, I know you do this a lot, and you sent me a video that I posted to the website so any of the premium subscribers can see Chad actually cracking a slab. A lot of you asked for that. Do you think there's a possibility that the Durant cards that got the lower grade were damaged by the act of cracking the slab and submitting it again? Or are you, I mean, what I know you do factor that in at some level. Do you think it was just a different grade altogether, or do you think it had something to do with the handling of the card?
I don't think it had anything to do with the handling of the card, because if you watched my video, you can see how easy these slabs crack. And you do not, unless you screw up with the screwdriver and bang an edge, which I learned when I first started learning how to do that, I did do that once or twice. But now I make sure that I don't come anywhere near the edge. And you saw how if you watched the video, you saw how easy that cover comes off. I only crack it part way, and then I take my hands and I open up that top and the whole thing comes off. And so unless the card slides out and falls and hits the ground or something of that, which did not happen, I'm not sure why I would have gotten an 8. Could have got a grader on a bad day. Could have maybe something got missed by the other grader, you know. I have noticed that, you know, sometimes print lines, some graders hate print lines and some don't. So I've had that. But what I'm going to do, just for full disclosure, what I'm going to do with that Durant 8, because that significantly sells for less than the SGC 9.5, I am now going to, when I get that back, I'm going to crack it out of the PSA 8 and I am sending it back to SGC and hoping for a 9.5 again.
There it is.
Maybe you'll get a 10.
You don't know. I mean, you just don't
know. You never know.
Maybe you'll get a 5. Not, who knows?
The only reason I'm doing that is because I watched the Jeff Wilson video episode where he did that with some high end cards, and he was able to recrack and send back and get the grades that he had prior, all except one card, which came back a half a grade lower. But so I'm using, you know, you got to watch. And see, you got to use all the tools in your toolbox sometimes to make money here.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I love it. I mean, I think that's all a great play, and definitely continue to keep us updated on when you sell those Chris Paul cards and the other Durants. And of course, we're all going to be excited to hear how the Durant PSA 8 comes back from SGC. I love it. So, Kendall, do you have any questions for Chad, or Chad, do you have anything else for us before we get into audience questions?
I do have a small question. I'm looking on Zinio and I believe these are digital copies.
Digital. I did too. Yeah.
So I think you got a digital copy of a Wembanyama card.
Well, I did not catch that. So it was a $4.99 chance I was willing to take the other night at 11 o'clock.
Whoops.
At night.
So you got green. Hey, Greeny Green got
hopefully too. Hopefully Greeny hasn't purchased it yet.
I'm going to send everybody a little something if they bought the $5 edition off of Zinio. Hopefully you guys didn't buy too many of them. But hey, Chad, we don't fault you for that. I was actually looking at all of the possibilities of getting that magazine as well for a while, and I did come across several that were digital. In fact, one of the listeners emailed me and said that he had gone to several of his local libraries and requested that the local apparently libraries can ask other libraries to send the magazines to one location and pick them up once they're out of circulation. So this particular audience member was able to get several copies from his library. I called my local library and they only referenced me to the digital edition. So I'm familiar with that. But all right, let's take some audience questions. So first, I don't actually want to read. No, nobody wants to read. We just want the sports cards out of the magazine. I was so nice to the lady though. I'm like, thank you so much for like really trying to get this magazine for me. I really appreciate your help. Maybe I'll check that out. I didn't tell her. No, I really just wanted the sports cards out of it. All right. So let's get to Jake Williams's question. So Jake Williams, thanks for submitting. He has a question about grading. So there's a few grading questions today. He says, how do you guys determine which players' cards are worthy of grading if there are no sales of the PSA cards yet? So for example, if I open a 2023 Topps Jumbo hobby box and pull every single rookie Kendall, how would you go about deciding which rookies to grade in an attempt to be the first to the market with the PSA slab? Thanks for the question, Jake.
That's a tough question because there's a lot of rookie cards that I wouldn't recommend doing. I'm actually not even a fan of Topps rookie cards for the most part. I mean, like I created one as an outlier today with Meneses because he doesn't have a Bowman Chrome auto from what I've seen. But there are some rookies that you know are going to be in the rookie of the year conversation. That's what I would go look at if you're going to go do this, is see who are the top 10 guys in the futures bets. So you can just Google that. If you look at futures bets for rookie of the year for each side, I go look for like maybe the top five, top 10 guys, grade the ones that you see that are there, and then leave out the pitchers and like take the top five hitters, see if they have eligible cards in the Topps RC logos and things like that, and get those submitted if that's a play you're trying to make.
Yeah, Jake, I would probably say I wouldn't grade any of them out of Topps because they're probably not going to have much value. I just wanted to run that by Kendall to see if there was a particular rookie that he wanted to call out. Sounds like maybe not. So, but thanks for the question.
I think
to keep the questions coming.
This was really popular when Wander Franco was coming up, and like in 2022, especially Top Series 1 was his first rookie card, and the paper versions of that were getting graded, and now there's a frick ton of them out there. But they were going for nice money originally if you were able to get them back fast. So there are some like that are out there like that, that is possible, but you're going to have to know the market. I can't just give you, you know, like, this is the guy to grade. Every year is going to be different. For instance, like this year, the rookie card that's really valuable is Adley Rutschman, but you would just know that because Adley Rutschman is like a top like player in the game. And so like there's not necessarily like a, hey, you can look for this marker, this marker, this marker. You're just going to just keep a tab on who the big rookies are. And I would just do that by looking at futures. Cause then you'll know the odds of somebody winning rookie of the year. Therefore you can look at which of those odds you're comfortable submitting.
All right. Breaking news for those of you listening on Apple and Spotify and can't see the comments on YouTube. Greeny Green, we said he copped off of Zinio. They said it's going to be delivered to his DE, which means digital newsstand. Derek Kunzman, I love all of you guys, by the way, subscribed on Zinio and says he might have an SI for kids coming, thanks to Chad. But then Ryan Baruski says he spoke to a Zinio rep. Everything is digital. And if this is all real, that is good information. Phenomenal. What I recommended was that everybody just go actually subscribe for $19.99 for the year to the actual print magazine of SI for Kids. You can just go subscribe, and then that's not going to get you anything retroactively, but that's going to give you everything in the future. And there will be someone that is going to outsell $20 in the future year for that subscription.
You get four magazines, so
you get six for the year because they do. Yeah, they do two. They combine 2 months at a time. So anyway, all right. Next audience question that was emailed in, and then we'll get to the ones in the comments. So this is from Mike. Mike says, Mike Sid, CID, he was involved in a break and hit a 2022 Bowman's Best Plate Parallel of Colson Montgomery 1/1 auto. He asked the breaker to send it to SGC for grading. They responded and suggested, you may not want to submit it. Their quote was, I'd suggest not grading plates because the surface usually makes them an SGC 4-6 max. This question is more for Lefty. And Chad, you might know this too, of course. He says, would you recommend the same? I'm not really sure if I think there's maybe two parts to this question. One is specifically regarding Mike's question, and another one is like, do you want to take the advice of the breaker, or do you just want to go? Like, do you, my advice would be like, ship the card to yourself, look at it, determine the condition yourself, and then determine whether or not you want to send it in. I wouldn't necessarily always believe someone else in terms of what they tell you the condition of the card is if you haven't seen it. But what do you think, Lefty?
I think printing plates are going to be a hard grade no matter what, just because of what they are. But with it being something that's unique and you pulled it in a break, you could send it to a place like SGC to see what kind of a grade would be back. You know, it's a fairly cheap option to get yourself a slabbed one of one. But I would probably sell it raw on eBay, just personally. But I think if you wanted to slab it, SGC wouldn't be a bad option.
Chad, do you have any experience with this that you want to add to Kendall's answer?
I do not. I've never tried slabbing a printing plate. I'm in Lefty's camp here. If I get a printing plate, I sell it raw. I just don't see the financial gain of slabbing a one-of-one plate. I think you'll get your return on investment. I just don't see that coming out in the wash for you. You're better off selling it as is.
Yep.
There you go, Mike. I would just take the breaker's advice in this case. Then they're giving you good advice. Good
but
stuff.
I think you bring up a good point by making your own decision too, though. It's like, you know.
I mean, if you were going to keep it for your personal collection and you wanted to preserve it, by all means, slab it. But just don't worry about what grade it gets. You know, if it comes back a 4, 5, 6 and you were hoping for a 10, you don't care because it's personal collection.
Yeah. I have a Tom Brady 3 and I love it because it's my personal collection.
Speaking of personal collection, friends of mine got me these Detroit Pistons Kroger 1992-93 Fleer cards at a garage sale, and they're really cool. So anyway, all right, let's get back to the audience comments before we wrap up the show. Audience comments and questions from today's show on YouTube. Rusty Immigart, opportunity to buy full sets of 1984 through 88 Topps baseball cheap. Break them and send them off to PSA. This is the wax era, correct? Lots of these out there. Kendall, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, I generally don't like buying in between probably 70 and 90. There's a lot of complete sets out there. So I don't like buying them because there's no rarity aspect to most of it. So I just, I think it's an era that I'm not interested in. I'm interested in pre-80 and post-2005. Because like the era in between there was a lot that, like, obviously we know the junk wax era, but also there was not a whole lot of rarity elements to cards. Now Chad might have a different perspective on that, but like there was no on card autos. There's not parallels. There's not stuff like that. For the most part, there's not. Now, sometimes there are on random situations, but I'm not interested in buying sets that other people have to go in there and potentially get a soft corner edge that's been put in one of these cardboard boxes wrong. So that's not a play that I am personally making. But you know, like, as always, the reason why we have this show is me and Paul and Chad and guys like that are finding small ways to make profit margins. If you can find a way to make profit margins, then I would say go for it. Like, I'm not, you know, we're talking about building a bankroll here. If you find a hustle that works for you, then awesome. That's just not one I would recommend. I would personally stick to, like, what I'm going to do is I just find Bowman cards cheap on eBay and then just flip them when I know that they're ready. But like, that's my little hustle because it's just something I do naturally, I guess, if that makes sense.
And for me, I love it. I do this a lot. I have so many complete sets. It's ridiculous. I love doing it. And I think there's money to be had. I love the 90s. That's the era when I started, you know, really graduated high school and, you know, had the actual money to buy cards. So that's kind of my sweet spot, is I love the 90s. But you just have to do, like anything, you got to do your research. You have to know what cards you can crack out, submit, and turn a profit on. And the play I love doing is I like buying sealed complete sets, because the hand collated ones, like Lefty, you just don't know what you're going to get for corners and edges and things like that. So I like doing it with the sealed sets, because there's a lot of those. I did this a couple of years ago with the 84 Don Russ set, with the chasing the Mattingly. I wanted a PSA 10 Mattingly in the worst way, and I didn't want to spend that kind of money. So I found you could buy the complete sealed sets cheaper than you could buy a Mattingly 10. I bought four of them. I cracked open the first two, sent them in. I got two nines, sold the nines for what I paid for the sets. And then I sold the sets on eBay, complete sets minus Mattingly, and got a little bit of money for that. So I turned a profit that way, cracked the next two. I got a nine and I got a 10. So I have one 10 in my personal collection, and that nice. Is sitting in my safe. And I did the same with the other one. I sold the I sold the nine, and I sold the set minus. You see a lot of, if you look on eBay with that stuff, you'll find a lot of sets that are almost complete sets, like they're missing 2, 3, 4, 5 cards. I think that's what people are doing, is they're taking the valuable cards out, grading them, or selling them separately. And then they sell them as an almost complete set to set builders. And there's people out there that, you know, that chase that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, I enjoy doing that. I think there's money to be had, but you got to be careful like anything else.
Yeah, Chad just totally nailed that for me. I love everything he just said. And all right, Southern Soccer Idiot, real quick. He's got a Gavi Obsidian Supernova that he showed me at the show, and he's going to grade it, and good luck with that. So let us know, SSI, how that goes. Let's get to Joshua Kaplow. So first on the show today was Josh. He says, do you have any suggestions about which inexpensive grading company to use for PC cards that I'm not looking to sell? Chad, what do you think about this one?
If you're not looking to sell them, and you're not worried about the value, then you go for the least expensive company. Right now, I believe CSG is the least expensive. If you do it in bulk, I think you can get CSG for like $9 or $10 a card. So I would go with whatever company has the best deal at the time, if you're just looking to get them slabbed and you don't care about resale. If you think you might sell them somewhere down the way, I would get 20 cards together and I'd send them to PSA. The $9 a card extra that you're going to spend will come back, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 fold in the future when you go to get rid of them if they say PSA on them. So it all depends on if you never plan on selling them or if you plan on someday maybe selling them.
Yeah, that's great advice right there from Chad there, Josh. So good stuff. TW, what's up, TW? Thanks for the comment. Thanks for watching and listening. He says, thanks for the Wembanyama SI Kids pump. He had 57 of them for $5 per mag and sold all but 6. That, let us know what the total profit on that is, because that is huge. He said he bought a new couch with that money, I think, is his other comment. Bought a new couch and paid for basement carpet. Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably more than a new. Yeah, so that's quite that's
awesome.
A bit.
That's
of,
awesome
of money. Great work, TW. We love hearing stuff like that. Tyler McClelland, thank you for your membership to the audience and your question. Just getting back into the hobby and found us on Spotify. Finally had a chance to listen live. Great show. Really appreciate that. Just want to make the note to Ryan Borusky that you never need to shut up. Your comments are never spam. We love you as well. We think you're awesome also. Okay, couple more questions here. Greeny Green, Brock Purdy or Trey Lance? Lefty, what do you think about this one?
Jimmy Garoppolo, can I pick that one? I wouldn't invest in either one of these, but it, for the sake of the question, I would say Trey Lance because of market.
I'd say Trey Lance. Chad, what do you think?
I think they're both extremely risky. I wouldn't touch either one of them right now. But there is a buy low window. Unfortunately, right now, I don't know what is going on with everybody in the world, but football, there's certain football cards that right now are up 20-30%. Because I've been trying to buy the 9.5s and it's irritating me. Hurts, Burrow, for two, and then you've got Trevor Lawrence. You know, there's a pocket, a lot, almost all of them are down 20-30%, which they should be this time of year. And then there's a couple of these guys that are their cards, not all of their cards, so there might be some opportunities with their, you know, like the select silvers versus a PS, you know, a prism silver. But the prism silvers and the hollows, the two that I want to go after, a couple of these guys are up right now and it doesn't make any sense. So, but if you're going to do Brock Purdy or Trey Lance, I would say the next 3 months is your opportunity and window to do it. But I'm staying away from both.
Yeah, I agree. I say Trey Lance just because I think he's probably got the better shot, a little longer runway in the league due to his draft capital. And we'll probably, worst case scenario, have some Baker Mayfield moments where if you buy in at this point, you at least be able to get your money back out at some point. But I don't love him as a actual profit maker unless you can quick flip him in August. Unless you can find like a huge deal on him and then quick flip him in August when the football hype cycle comes, if there's positive news about him. All right, final question of the show today. Our main man, Ryan Borusky, he's got UNC's finest set made by Coke in the late 80s with 8 Jordans. I'm not familiar with these, but Kendall's nodding his head. Should I submit those for grading or just sell the entire set raw? Lefty, what do you think?
I would sell the entire set together. I know what cards he's talking about. That pretty unique and pretty cool set. And personally, I think you're going to get people that are looking for these as an entire set together, unless you're going to grade them all and then sell them all as graded set. So,
yeah, I got to run here for my sales meeting, but my 2 cents on this is, I think Lefty hit it the nail right on the head. You either have to grade them all and sell them as a graded set, or you have to sell them all as ungraded. And also be careful. You might waste your money sending them. Some grading companies will not grade them because they are not licensed.
Yeah.
So you may run into, I don't know if PSA, SGC is usually pretty good about grading that type of stuff, but PSA might not grade those at all. So
yeah, they could.
But anyways, that's good advice. I gotta run. Thanks for a great week, guys.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad. Great stuff today, as always, from Chad Gill. And last note from TW. Profited approximately a little over $3,000, and he's holding on to 3 or 4 of them. That's super smart. Yeah, you're right. I haven't seen many more that you can buy now without totally risking a huge loss just based on the price. And I would continue on the Victor Wembanyama cards, I would continue to expect the value of those to rise not only through the summer, but potentially even as late as December before any of his pro uniform releases come out. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's some version of a Wembanyama set, like the Trevor Lawrence top set. Kendall, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean,
he's a prime candidate for that.
Biggest, I mean, there was a Chet Holmgren set. There might as well be a Wembanyama set.
Yeah, so the only real competition, I think, to the SI for Kids card would be if Wembanyama and his agent put together some sort of massive deal with Fanatics, or, you know, who knows what company puts together the first Victor Wembanyama auto, and those would be, you know, out of this world expensive, I would think. So, Lefty, what do you want to leave us with today, my man? Got anything?
No, I don't have a whole lot other than LAFC beating the Revolution last night 4-0 was incredible. Because of card values are going to be in that big market of LAFC, and we've talked about this quite a bit. Like, there are some big LA players, and like I talked about last week, Okpoku was on the field for that 4-0 win. So,
all right, everybody. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. Yes, I will again owe my shoes. Wondering about the free year of nooffseason.com premium. I will resend you the email, but everybody out there, email me at paul@nooffseason.com for that. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. Lefty, I think there was one more thing you normally say.
Play the rock music, baby!